You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed. This morning in the studio, we've got Emi Rākete, who is a criminology lecturer at the Faculty of Arts here at the University of Auckland, also the founder of People Against Prisons Aotearoa. And we're talking this morning a little bit about the three strikes law, which feels kind of fitting given what we're seeing in headlines at the moment, and also given your own research. Kia ora, Emi. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How's it going?
Good. It's lovely to have you in here. This is, I mean, I didn't really know we were going to be talking about this in 2024 again, but what... For people who have maybe missed the headlines, what is happening currently in the three strikes space in the media?
Yeah, so basically our government, whenever they're out of good ideas, will look around the world for a bad idea and find one from usually America, kind of the font of bad ideas in world history. And we picked up three strikes. So this is a law that was passed in California in the 1990s. The idea was to increase sentences, and if sentences are longer, people will not do crime. That sounds dumb, but I tried to think of a smart way to phrase that idea and I couldn't do it. So there we are. So we just picked this up and did it here in 2010. The way it works is there's a schedule of offences, and if you're convicted of one of these, you'll have a strike kind of noted on your record.
Okay.
First strike doesn't do anything necessarily on its own. Second strike, you're not eligible for parole for the duration of your sentence, so it'll be a much longer time that you spend in prison. And for your third strike, the judge is required to impose the maximum possible sentence laid out in the Crimes Act.
So did we not get rid of this recently? What's going on there?
So we passed this in 2010, the last time Judith Collins was allowed to put her hands on the wheel. And we had it for 12 years. And during that period, nobody could find any sign that this was doing anything good for society. Like, there's no benefit to doing this. We just kind of did it, left it there for 12 years. It put some people in prison for longer, but no one could say, oh, this helped with this problem.
Yes.
And then it was repealed under the last Labour government.
And so why is it in the headlines at the moment? What's the current government trying to do?
So both ACT and New Zealand First campaigns on bringing this back in the last election. And that's fairly interesting, I think, because it tells us something about their political priorities, right? So this was picked up for no reason, put in place for no reason. It didn't do anything useful, and all of the evidence that we had about what it was doing showed that it was just worsening all of the kinds of discrimination that we already see in the justice system against Māori Pacific and working class people, and then we got rid of it. So why would you want to bring this back, right? It's because this government is committed to slashing all social services, cutting kind of the heart out of society and dumping as much money onto the rich in the form of tax cuts as it can. In order then to balance out all the damage that that's doing to communities, they need to kind of have some plan that says, oh, look, we're taking this very seriously. And this was the best that they could come up with.
So it is a fascinating one for them to kind of pull out of the, I guess, the grab bag of things in the law and order space, particularly because, to my knowledge, which is limited, to be fair, there wasn't necessarily a call from it, from the sector either. Nobody was saying we're missing this. As you pointed out, we didn't see a material difference from it being there for 12 years. And there wasn't necessarily a call from any particular asking for
it. Not even close. So the kind of only investigation that was done into three strikes the last time around showed that it wasn't reducing crime, because how would it? All it was doing is making sentences longer and deepening discrimination against Māori Pacific people in the justice system. But I think that it does make sense to do this if you are evil. So we know the causes of crime, right? Crime is caused by stuff like homelessness, unemployment, poverty, mental illness, addiction, all stuff that you have to spend money on poor people to fix. And so this government has come out swinging from day one saying we don't have any money for anything. There's not going to be any state housing. There's not going to be any welfare. There's not going to be any state jobs. There's not going to be any money for like doctors and hospitals. There's no money for any of that stuff. So like, go back to the coal mine. But then as soon as it's time to do tax cuts for landlords, suddenly they think about doing them retroactively. They're trying to do like as much money for the rich as they possibly can. this is what capitalist justice looks like, a system that works for the rich so long as everyone else stays poor forever. Anyone who acts like they've been made poor gets brutalised by the cops until they shut up.
So when we look at the mahi that you've been doing in People Against Prisons Aotearoa, for folks who aren't maybe familiar with what that group does, what is the kind of like kaupapa of that as a crew?
Yeah, so People Against Prisons Aotearoa is a prison abolitionist group, and that means that we're a fighting repressive society in which prisons are not necessary and do not exist. When we look at how prisons have been used in this country, they start at colonization and they're expanded during the land wars, and then they become really kind of a feature of society after the neoliberal structural reforms in the 1980s. So every time prisons have been put into widespread use in this country, it's been to do something racist, or it's been due to make sure that the poor stay poor. We don't need these. They don't work well to solve social problems. They're just a tool that the rich use in order to try to kind of distract from any structural critique of their existence taking root in society. But we don't need rich people. Like, you don't need a landlord. The house is there regardless of whether or not you give $700 a week to some guy who lives probably in Emueda for the, like, privilege of living there. We don't need these people. They don't do anything useful in society. Prisons are a way of kind of keeping us looking at individual offenders rather than looking at the people who have made society the way that it is, who have made us all poor and desperate and heartbroken every day.
It's a really, for some people it feels like a really radical idea, because like a prison is, it's a place you go if you've done something bad. But as you're pointing out here as well, it doesn't get to that structural problem. What do you need in a society to not necessitate a prison?
Yeah. So we're really lucky in this country, actually, in that we have a long history of prisons not existing here. Prisons didn't exist on this land for hundreds of years because Māori society was different to capitalist society. In Māori society, land and the means of production were owned by the people who worked them, and goods were distributed on the basis of need. And that's not what we have now. Mm. No one was charging like rent on the Kumara patch to anybody in Te Wā Kōhatu, but now all we have to sell is our labour power, right? I think I'm technically doing it now. I have to check my contract.
Yeah.
I know that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
But things don't have to be this way, right? We could give people the stuff that they need to live full, whole, dignified lives where they wake up every day and feel good about who they are and feel secure about who they are, know that they're not going to be hungry, they're not going to be sick, they're not going to die needlessly. And people would be better, people could be different. But in order to do that, we have to break the power of the rich to hold us all to ransom over every little thing in society. That means that we own houses collectively, we own property collectively, we own the means of production collectively, so that we can all share and share alike.
Absolutely. Hey, Emmy, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us this morning. I feel like we could keep talking about this for hours. I mean, for decades we could do. Yeah, exactly. But we could absolutely keep talking about this because it is such a broad topic. But if people are interested in the work that People Against Prisons Aotearoa does, where can they find you guys?
So we're on all the main social media. I can't figure out TikTok because I'm not any good at dancing. So please don't look for us on there. I think we're not on there. But we're on all the main social medias. And we're also on papa.org.nz. We've got like a basic 101 explanation of what do you mean abolish prisons, which I think explains like why this is actually a reasonable position to come to.
Yeah.
And a bunch of kind of like books and resources and stuff to help you learn. And then you can join and then you can come along, because if we don't fight back against three strikes, they're going to just pass it, and then they'll pass the next thing, and they'll pass the next thing. And we'll have another generation of people who have been immiserated and humiliated and abused by the justice system, and we don't need that.
Kia ora. Hey, thank you, Emmy, so much. Yeah. Have a great rest of your morning, and we will see you again soon.
Anytime, man.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.